Levin versus Madigan. Mr. Levin.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. May it please the Court. My name is Brett Legner. I'm an Assistant Illinois Attorney General, and I represent the defendants' appellants in this matter. Your Honors, this Court should reverse the District Court's denial of qualified immunity to the individual defendants on plaintiff's Section 1983 Equal Protection Age Discrimination Claim. Your Honors, the Seeclamers-Smith analysis applies to determine whether a Section 1983 claim or remedy has been displaced by a federal statute with a comprehensive remedial scheme. Every federal circuit court that has directly addressed this issue has found that the ADEA displaces Section 1983. That's the Fourth Circuit in Zombro, the Fifth in Lafleur, the Ninth in Allmeyer, the Tenth in Mignot. Additionally, the First Circuit in Tapia Tapia held broadly that the ADEA is the exclusive remedy for an age discrimination and employment claim. And the District Court in Puerto Rico within the First Circuit relied on Tapia Tapia within the last few weeks in applying it to a 1983 context. And that's the Sanchez-Arroyo case that we cite in our reply brief. Your Honors, the unanimous weight of this federal appellate authority is correct. The ADEA indeed has a comprehensive remedial scheme. The ADEA has strict filing deadlines. It has an administrative exhaustion requirement. It requires the prospective plaintiff to file with the EEOC, and it provides for a period of attempted conciliation.
What does that have to do with the question whether Congress wanted to partially repeal 1983?
Well, Your Honor, under Seeclamers and Smith, where Congress has enacted another statute that has a comprehensive remedial scheme, it is that provides intent that Congress in that provides evidence of Congress's intent.
Why wouldn't they just be adding remedies to 1983? Why do you think they'd be displacing?
Well, Seeclamers and Smith.
Some evidence of this that they and that, is there legislative history that.
Well, Seeclamers-Smith considers the comprehensiveness of the remedial scheme to be the best and primary focus.
Why is that evidence of congressional intent? That's what I don't understand.
Well, Seeclamers and Smith.
I mean, Congress is constantly piling one remedy on the next, right? They love duplication, and people are constantly bringing suits under multiple statutes for the same violation. Right?
To keep lawyers occupied.
Exactly.
Well, it certainly keeps lawyers occupied, and it keeps the legislators occupied.
And judges, too.
Everybody here is occupied thanks to that duplication. But the Seeclamers-Smith line of cases acknowledges that where there's a comprehensive and detailed remedial scheme, it would disserve congressional intent
Why? I don't understand.
If Congress goes to the trouble of creating a detailed scheme,
it goes to the trouble of adding a remedy. So why does that subtract? Why does that suggest it wanted to abolish the preceding remedy? Especially when it leaves holes, right?
Well,
now you could say, well, maybe there's evidence that there was a deal here that in order to get these detailed federal remedies, the people in the plaintiff situation would have to give up 1983. Is there evidence of that? A deal?
There's no evidence of a deal.
Quid pro quo. So
that evidence certainly is.
Why didn't Congress say we're amending 1983? We're supplanting it in this class of cases with a detailed regulatory scheme.
Congress did say it impliedly through the comprehensive remedial scheme.
No, what do you mean say it impliedly? What does that mean?
Well, that's exactly what Seeclamers and Smith and City of Rancho Palos Verde tell us to look at.
Have any other circuits looked at precisely this question?
Yes.
How many?
Four.
And what were their rulings?
They all found that the ADEA displaces Section 1983.
Are there any circuits that have found to the contrary?
There are not.
Do any of them discuss legislative history?
Yes. And they acknowledge first the, well, first they're all discussing congressional intent.
Where's the legislative history?
The legislative history is that there is intent.
You don't mention legislative history, do you?
There is no legislative history on this.
All right, so they don't discuss the legislative history since there isn't any.
They discuss legislative intent, did you say?
They discuss congressional intent. And the congressional intent is evidenced by the comprehensive remedial scheme.
That's where you're wrong. The fact that Congress adds a bunch of remedies doesn't reveal an intention to constrain, to constrict previous remedies, right?
That's inconsistent in the 1983 context. Specifically, the 1983 context, that's inconsistent with the C. Clammers and Smith analysis that says when there is...
What's the basis of that now? I don't understand. That is, I don't understand how you infer an intent to constrict... You know, there is this principle that repeals by implication or disfavor.
That's true.
That's what we have here.
This is an exception to that, Your Honor.
But what's the basis for the exception?
That Section 1983 is a broad statute that Congress enacted to allow the vindication of certain violations of federal and constitutional rights. Congress, though, certainly could repeal 1983, or Congress could decide that certain rights are better remedied in other manners. And when Congress...
When Congress enacted the RICO statute, nobody thought this meant that you couldn't prosecute these people under the general federal conspiracy statute. Right?
True.
Well, why didn't they say the same thing? We have this general federal conspiracy statute. It's very broad. Now Congress has enacted this detailed prohibition of conspiratorial activity by these gangs and so on, and therefore... So detailed, lists all these predicate acts, so we think it displaces the general conspiracy statute.
It would be severely inconsistent in this case with the detailed remedial scheme.
Why haven't the court said the same thing about RICO? Displacing federal attempt statute. But you have all sorts of statutes which forbid attempts.
Yeah,
right.
You do, but Section 1983 is a specific separate area that the Supreme Court has carved out this exception to the implied repeal doctrine, and it also recognizes that when there's a comprehensive and detailed remedial scheme, such as in the ADEA,
it's inconsistent. But that's my RICO example. I mean, you can cling to C. Clammers and to these four other circuits, but none of them seem to give any actual reasons for their result.
The reason is that it would be inconsistent with Congress going through and creating this...
No, that's ridiculous, because Congress is constantly creating duplicate remedies for the same wrong.
That's
those,
true.
There are more than 4,000 federal criminal statutes. You think there's no overlap among them?
Well, certainly there's overlap, Your Honor. But
the courts don't say whenever a new federal criminal statute is enacted that this is... impliedly repealed some other statute of more general scope which would be applicable.
They don't automatically say that. That's correct. They would go through the implied repeal analysis. But in this 1983 case...
Your implied repeal analysis just consists of repeating the words that if Congress enacts some detailed scheme of regulation, it repeals the previous general scheme. That's all you're saying.
Over and over again.
That's all you say. You have nothing else to say.
Insofar as I'm repeating those words, I'm repeating the words of the Supreme Court.
Right. But you're just repeating.
Yep.
You don't have anything new.
I'm relying. I'm not. Because it's such a straightforward application.
You've got a minute left.
Thank you, Your Honors. I am.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Theobald?
May it please the Court, Mr. Legner. My name is Ed Theobald, and I represent Harvey Levin, who is the plaintiff appellee. Judge Ching's order denying qualified immunity last July should be affirmed because this circuit and the district courts in the circuit for more than 30 years, have held that intentionally firing a public employee, intentionally firing them because of his or her age, violates the Constitution Equal Protection Clause.
We're not talking about that at the moment, are we? We're talking about immunity.
Judge Bauer, the basis of the defendant's appeal was a collateral order doctrine. Appealing Judge Chang's.
Let me ask the same question of you that I ask of him. Can you think of any circuit that's taken your position?
This circuit has taken our position.
No. This is the first time this issue has been before this circuit.
The preclusion argument has not been decided by this circuit.
There you go. But it has been decided by four other circuits.
The four other circuits did decide. Three were pre-Kimmel decisions, and none of the other circuits followed the instructions that the Supreme Court laid out in Fitzgerald. And Fitzgerald recently, in a Title IX case, said, look at the contours of the rights of the 1983 equal protection claim here and the rights of the statute that someone is arguing precluded it. And when the contours are different, that indicates no preclusion. In other words, if it's different, and they are different, they're different in the people that are covered. Every public employee in this circuit, in Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, is covered by the Equal Protection Clause right not to be discriminated against on a rational basis review. The statutes, Title VII and the ADEA, do not cover all public employees. As a matter of fact, there are substantial groups and offices that are exempt. These statutes impose liability against the employer, equal protection, 1983, against individuals. So there's a divergence of rights, which Fitzgerald laid out when you're considering this. This court in Delgado, in Randolph, in Discovery House, in Trigg, and in Ratliff consistently did not preclude a equal protection 1983 action based upon a statute, the various statutes. And this court has done this for, since the 1980s. What I was getting to before is that this appeal is based on the denial of qualified immunity. The preclusion argument the defendants are advancing has nothing to do with qualified immunity. You don't have to consider that, and we've argued that basically there's no jurisdiction for this appeal under the collateral order doctrine because preclusion of a statute, looking back 34 or 38 years ago to try to decide what Congress intended when they took the ADA, which was applied to private employment, and applied it to the public sector, has nothing to do with the conduct of a defendant here, members of the Attorney General's office, who decided to fire my client because of his age. And whether or not that conduct violates clearly established constitutional rights. So preemption or preclusion, that's what they're arguing. They don't dispute, the defendants do not dispute that for over 30 years, this circuit, courts in this circuit, have held there's no qualified immunity for intentionally firing a public employee because of his age. They don't even address it. They say, we want to talk about preclusion. In addition to this circuit's decisions that I mentioned, where the court did not preclude an equal protection 1983 case, we have Johnson versus Railway Express, Title II in 1981, Supreme Court, Guardian and Associates, Runyon versus McRae, Patterson versus McLean Credit, cases we've heard about for years, CBOCS versus Humphreys, Title VII in 1981. No preclusion. That was a more recent Supreme Court case. And in the case that the defendants mentioned, Rancho Palos Verdes, 1983, The Supreme Court said there will be not be preclusion of 1983. They didn't preclude it. They said any 1983 action that was there when this act was passed will not be precluded. Counsel talked about sea clamors. This all started when Congress would pass a statute that had no enforcement provisions. It had no teeth to it. And someone would take 1983 with A to Z remedies, with all equitable and legal relief, and put it on this little statute here with no remedies. And those cases where someone was trying to use 1983 to enforce a statute that Congress didn't intend to be enforced that way, that's what started sea clamors and other decisions and the mistakes that the other circuits made in finding preclusion. Only two of those decisions came up to the appellate court, the Court of Appeals, on a collateral order, and no one argued there was no jurisdiction as we have here because the two issues are separate. We've talked about in our brief, we've distinguished those other four cases, but the big overwhelming reason they shouldn't be followed is they were pre-Kimmel. In the Kimmel decision, the Supreme Court went through and found that the ADEA did not abrogate state immunity. Also in that decision, they laid out their cases, four cases of the, well, three and then Kimmel, Bradley, Gregory, and Merja prior to Kimmel, which all acknowledged the right to bring an age discrimination claim under the Equal Protection Clause. So we have this circuit's opinion, no preclusion. We have the Supreme Court acknowledging that cause of action, and this court in Gostaby also acknowledged that employees, public employees, have a right to bring established an age discrimination claim based on equal
then
protection.
Then what is the line? Because there's certainly, starting with sea clamors, there are certainly a lot of decisions that use this implied repeal on the basis of a detailed statute. So what's the line?
Well,
we can't overrule sea clamors, right? So
sea clamors doesn't apply, Judge Posner, because sea clamors was a case where the plaintiff took 1983 and tried to enforce a federal statute. It has nothing to do with the constitutional right. And Fitzgerald recently in 2009 cautioned, said, it's a different ball game when we're looking to preclude a constitutional right than when somebody takes 1983 and applies it to a statute that has little or no enforcement provisions to try to beef it up and turn in this little stick.
That is a difference.
So only one time did the Supreme Court find preclusion of a constitutional claim, and that was in Smith versus Robinson. And that's because right in the statute that Congress said we're passing this statute to enforce the constitutional rights asserted in the Constitution. So in equal protection. So that was the only time. And that was immediately repealed by the Congress, or the statute was repealed shortly thereafter. So this court consistently has held in equal protection, sex discrimination, age discrimination, they are not to be precluded through a modern-day civil rights statute. And we don't think there's any jurisdiction for the appeal because what they're talking about, as the court can see, has nothing to do with qualified immunity. So based on all those reasons, we believe Judge Chang's decision was proper. And if you don't have anything else.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Theobald.
Thank you.
Wagner? So Mr. Theobald made an important distinction, didn't he? If Congress passes a toothless statute and then 1983 is used to give it teeth, that's sea clamors, and that looks like an end run around Congress's desire to have a toothless statute. But in the case of the Constitution, Why isn't that different? Why would Congress want to preclude enforcement of constitutional rights under 1983 if there was no statutory mechanism for that enforcement, right?
Well, first, the Sea Clamors applies when there's a not toothless statute ultimately, and that would preclude or displace Section 1983. And that's what the City of Rancho Palos Verdes case held, that where there is no private right of action under a new statute, then there won't be displacement generally under Section 1983. But where there is a private right of action and a comprehensive and detailed procedure for going through that, there can be displacement, as was the case in Sea Clamors, as well as Smith, which extended Sea Clamors to the constitutional issue. There's no logical difference between...
But doesn't your position in this case leave a hole, constitutional rights for which there's no federal statutory procedure? I mean, it still can be get an injunction, but... There's no way to get damages. For
Congress can make that decision.
Violation.
Congress could repeal Section 1983 altogether and provide.
Of course, but there's no evidence that it has.
Its comprehensive remedial scheme is the evidence, and that's the best evidence.
Not evidence of anything. That's just evidence of additional remedies. There's no reason to infer that Congress wanted to cut back 1983 and leave a gap, leave a hole, so some people whose constitutional rights were violated could no longer get damages. That's correct, isn't it? That is, this does eliminate a damages remedy for some victims of constitutional wrongs, doesn't it? Yes
or
no?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a funny intention to impute to Congress. Why would it want to do that? Doesn't want these old people to get damages? I mean, why?
Because Congress realized that or decided that there would be a better way to handle these type of claims, which is...
What's the better way to handle this Levin's claim? He doesn't have a better way. He has no way.
Well, in this particular case...
Yes, I know, but why do you say Congress wanted a better way to handle these claims when the better way is to extinguish someone's claim, even though it's a perfectly good claim?
Because Congress looked at the age discrimination.
What do you have against Levin, right? Well, why does Levin get extinguished? It's a constitutional claim. Why can't he litigate it in federal court?
Because Congress thought that age claims should be remedied otherwise than Section 1983.
But there is no other remedy. He has no other remedy.
In
right?
that particular case, and Congress
well,
acknowledged that.
In that particular case, that's our case, right?
That is
Why
our
would
case.
Congress have wanted to extinguish Levin's constitutional claim?
Because Congress
they
felt
just don't
that.
Like him. Go ahead.
Right. They don't like him.
Yeah, I'm sure Congress, likes him fine, but ultimately, Congress decided that an administrative process focusing on informal resolution and a narrowly tailored set of remedies regarding employment actions.
For people who can invoke it, but Levin has no federal remedy, right?
But as Kimmel recognized, there are plenty of state court remedies. You don't need a federal remedy.
So Congress says, okay, you don't need a federal remedy. Go to the state. Of course, there's no evidence to that.
Congress passed. There is evidence in the remedial scheme.
There's no evidence that Congress said to itself, Levin's go to state. State remedies for Levin's, no federal remedies. We're not interested in him. Right.
Congress passed the exceptions that preclude certain people, certain class of people, from the
excluded piece of it.
A.
Okay. Well,
thank you
Your
Honor.
Very much, Mr. Theobald and Mr. Legner. The next case.